Well, amen. If you got a Bible, turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we're continuing our series entitled Crucified. The call of the Christian life is a call to live the crucified life. Galatians 2:20 puts it this way. We've been crucified with Christ. Those of us that gave our heart and life to Jesus, we've been crucified with Him. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in us. And the call for us now as followers of Jesus is to live in light of that reality. To live, right, a life that dies to self every single day, right, and lives to glorify the Lord by choosing to live this crucified life. And so we're continuing that today. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be in verses 16 through 26. But before we dig into that, I wanted to make a quick announcement. I've said this over the last couple of weeks after our message time towards the end of the service, but wanted to bring it to the forefront now in the beginning of our service. We are moving forward as a church, right, in new vision direction that the Lord has placed in our hearts, right, to continue to look to build His kingdom moving forward. And we're calling that all in. We're calling that all in between both our locations here in Sango. Man, we believe that the Lord is moving us in this direction to continue to build His church in large and continue to be an outreach, a ministry to those in the greater Clarksville community for His name. And so over the next several weeks, we'll be walking through what all that looks like, right? This all-in campaign, if you will, as we look to continue to build His church. The reason why we're moving in this direction now is simply this. There is no greater time than now, right, to be a church that is strong, right, and a church that is a beacon of light in Clarksville for Him. In light of all that's going on in our world, the social unrest, the political unrest, the fact that we're still in the middle of a pandemic, all these different things, right? There's no greater time here. There's no greater time, right? There's no greater place that ought to be essential than the church. And so we want to continue to build His church and continue to be folks that reach people for His glory. And so real quick, just a couple of dates you see up there. September 12th is going to be the unveiling of the new vision piece. We'll get into detail about that. But essentially, the direction that we're heading in light of our growth at both locations, seeking the Lord about what it looks like, for us to build a new building, a new property here in the Tylertown area. And so we're excited about that, excited for where the Lord's leading us there. But September 12th is the start of our series, so you want to make sure you're here for that. It's going to be a big day. That's also our year anniversary in this building. And so, man, we're going to celebrate, have a good time there. But also, we're going to have baptisms. We got several that are coming forward for baptism on that day. So it's going to be a big day of celebration. So you make sure you're here for that September 12th. September 19th is Prayer Sunday. We're going to have worship just like normal, all three services here. And then in the evening, we're asking for our folks to come back. We're just going to seek the heart of God. We're going to spend time on our face, man, praying for revival in our city, praying for revival in our hearts. And praying, God give us direction in terms of specifics on, where He wants us to build, this new build so we can continue to reach people here at Tylertown. So you make sure you're here for that. And then the 26th, you see on there, it's Party Sunday. Hey, we're going to have a big party on the 26th of September, man. It's going to be a great day. What that looks like is, man, all of our Tylertown folks, we're going to take our show on the road. We're going to head south and worship with our Sango family. We're going to have one worship service, outdoor service. At 10 a.m. out there, where it's going to be Sango, man, and Tylertown joining together, worshiping together. We're going to have worship, a pretty big, worship choir comprised of both worship teams. I'm going to preach. Pastor Darius is going to preach, and we're going to have a big day. Going to be food trucks out there. It's going to be inflatables for the kids, man. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. So you don't want to miss that. And then October 3rd is Pledge Sunday. So part of this all-in campaign is what we're asking, myself, Pastor Derek, our staff, our leaders, what we're asking is that you guys would join us and praying about what it looks like, to give the biggest first fruits offering towards this new work, this new vision piece that the Lord puts on your heart. And so we're asking that you join us in that effort. And so October 3rd is going to be the day where we bring those first fruit offerings to the Lord. And give those to Him and watch Him work. And so, listen, all that to say, we're excited. Here's the deal. I've said this before, but I'll go ahead and say it again. Right? God has done a great work here at Tylertown. It's been neat to see what He's done in the last year. But I truly believe this. He's just getting started. He's just getting started. Look, it's not about numbers. It's not about buildings, man. It's about making his name famous. And it's about folks meeting him and leaving different than the way they came. It's about folks coming to faith through our witness, you know, outside the walls of this church and growing in him. And so, man, I'm excited. I'm excited. But what it's going to take is us going all in for him. And so with that being said, Galatians chapter 5, make sure you take note of those dates there. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16 is where we're going to be. And we're going to read through verse 26 real quick. Really, the premise of this chapter is talking about the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Paul says, starting in verse 1 of Galatians 5, that it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. So there's no need for you to go back into, you know, submitting into a yoke of slavery. What Paul was saying was these religious folks known as the Judaizers, right, that were hoodwinking these Christians in this area into believing that they've got to follow a set of rules and, you know, come to faith in Jesus in order for them to truly be Christians. What he was saying was, man, whenever you choose to submit back to following, you know, the law and these set of rules and regulations, right, as your hope, you're in a sense enslaving yourself, right? True freedom is walking in this loving relationship with the creator of the universe through Christ. That's what freedom is. And enjoying, right, his presence and walking with him. And so he highlights all the specifics of that. And then he gets here to the end where he says, man, there's you know, a lot of folks that believe, man, okay, the freedom that I have in Jesus, it just gives me the liberty to be able to do what I want. Man, I'm free. I'm going to heaven. I'm good. He addresses that. Said, no, don't use that as an opportunity for the flesh. You know, hey, just because you're saved and free doesn't mean that you can do whatever. Matter of fact, man, hey, it ought to lead you to love and serve Jesus even more so. Love and serve other people even more so. And then we find ourselves in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5. And so if you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there. If not, if you don't have a Bible with you, you can look on the screen there. The verses will be on the screen. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. Here's what it says. But I say, walk in the Spirit, or walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things, which real quick, let me throw this in for no charge, that word do in the original language speaks to a continual action. So another way that could be read is those who continually practice these things, to live out these things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or choosing to envy one another. Paul makes this statement. He's trying to get the folks, and also us in here today, to understand this reality that, hey, in order for us to birth, right, the fruits of the Spirit that we probably know of, sang of before, in order for those things to be birthed out of us, we've got to be folks that walk in the Spirit. Every folks that walk in the Spirit. Adversely, man, if you choose to live for yourself, walk in the flesh, man, you're going to birth some of these things that we see here in the early portion of that. And so at the end of the day, right, the call for us as children of God is to do this, right, to live the Spirit-filled life. And that's the title of the sermon today, Crucified to Live the Spirit-filled Life. Why don't we pray together? One more time. Lord, we love you. Pray for these next few moments that you speak to us, Lord. Have your way in us today. Meet us here. God, I pray Lord, that this is more than just another Sunday morning on the calendar to check off for us, Lord. But we pray that as you've met with us during worship, pray that you meet with us during this time in the Word as well. And we be folks that respond and leave differently than the way we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Did you know this? I'll go ahead and just jump right into it this morning. Hey, did you know, right, that none of us are able to walk this Christian life out without the help of the Lord? Did you know that? None of us are able, right, to live the way that God's called for us to live in Him without the help of the Lord, without the Holy Spirit guiding us, leading us in life. That's what Paul is trying to communicate here. Hey, you're not able to live, right, this life that glorifies the Lord, right, that bears these fruits of the Spirit by simply choosing to follow a ton of rules, by simply choosing to manufacture these things in your life. Right, you follow by man living this Spirit-filled life. We need the Holy Spirit of God and us choosing to submit to Him. Man, in order to live the life He's called for us to live. It reminds me, man, of one of my favorite movies ever, right? In my mind, and this has been highly debated, but I believe for it to be true, in my mind, this movie probably has the top five best soundtrack of all time, right? And that movie is Space Jam, the original Space Jam. Y'all remember Space Jam? Hey, listen, Space Jam, man, great movie. Great movie, came out, you know, way back when. If you hadn't seen it, first off, you need to see it. Where you been? Been 25 plus years, you know, since it's come out. But that's neither here nor there. You need to watch it. But Space Jam, the premise of Space Jam, right? You've got these aliens that come, right, and look to take over the world. And how they do it is they hijack the gifts and talents of several NBA players that were there in that time. They steal their abilities, right? And they end up, man, going, playing ball, man, and destroying everybody. The only hope, right, to save the world is through recruiting the great Michael Jordan to come out of retirement, right? He was playing baseball at this time, to come back and play, right? And so Michael Jordan recruits some Looney Tune characters, right, to come and play against him, and they have an epic game against the aliens known as the Monstars. Man, just simply talking about, you know, the plot of the movie, man, it kind of shows kind of how ridiculous it was, you know, pretty crazy. But it was a great movie either way. But, you know, we focused on Michael Jordan, you know, and the fact that they ended up winning, man. They, you know, ended up defeating the Monstars. They get their, you know, get their abilities back, all that. But one thing you can tend to easily forget, you know, are the actual Monstars. And what's interesting is, right, the Monstars, man, with the abilities of those NBA players, man, they were studs. Hey, they dominate everybody that they play. But, man, whenever they didn't have any of that talent or ability inside of them, listen, they were little old two-foot, I mean, really, to be honest with you, ugly-looking creature things, you know, cartoon little creature things that were there. Powerless, had no ability, weren't able to do anything. And listen, in the same way, right, the picture of the Christian life, hey, without the Spirit of God and us walking in the Spirit, man, hey, we're unable to do anything, man, to glorify the Lord. Man, hey, we're unable to live the Christian life that God calls for us to live. A lot of times we fall into this mistake of being more like machines as believers in Jesus than we are trees. You know the differences in the two. Machines, man, they manufacture stuff. Man, they work. But machines, man, they don't have the ability to produce fruit naturally like a tree does. A tree that's rooted right in the ground. It's fed, that's nourished, man. Hey, after a while, hey, they're going to produce the fruit that's necessary. And at the end of the day, listen to me, friend, that's what Jesus wants, man. That's the difference between, right, living the life, following the law versus, man, living the life of glorifying God. Hey, Jesus wants us, man, He's more pleased with us producing fruit than He is us working like machines, trying to please Him through all the stuff that we do. And that's what Paul is trying to get at here, that, man, we need to be folks that bear fruit. And the way that you bear fruit is living the Spirit-filled life. Real quick. What does it look like for us to live the Spirit-filled life? What does it look like for us in Christ based on what we see in the text here? What does it look like for us to walk in the Spirit this morning? First and foremost, it looks like this. It looks like us choosing to feed our souls instead of feed our flesh. Hello, it looks like us choosing to feed our souls and not our flesh. The first few verses there, right? That language that Paul is using, right? It speaks more so to appetite. It says, hey, walk in the Spirit. And in doing so, listen, you won't be able to gratify, right? Or satisfy or appease, right? The desires of the flesh. And he goes on to say that, man, the desires of the Spirit, they can't intertwine with the desires of the flesh. They're two separate things. And so at the end of the day, man, what we're doing is either we're choosing to feed the Spirit, right? Feed our soul, or we're choosing to feed the flesh. It's one or the other. Based on how we live, based on what we're taking in, we're either choosing to feed the Spirit or feed the flesh. So here's the question today. Who are you feeding? Question number two, what are you eating on? What are you feeding? I remember in high school, right before a football game, one time, I remember, you know, we usually bring our lunch, or parents would bring us lunch. I had to pack my lunch that day right before the game, and packed the sandwich. And I noticed, you know, that morning of, man, I saw my sister, you know, had some leftover hot Cheeto puffs. Yeah, I don't know if y'all remember those. Hot Cheeto puffs, they're still around. Hot Cheeto puffs are not good for you under any circumstance. Better yet, right before playing a football game in Texas where it's like 180 degrees outside, you know, not good for you at all. Well, I packed them because I liked them. I thought they were good. So, man, I, you know, had them with me. I ate them, man. Ate a whole big bag of them. And I'll never forget, first play out there, we run the play. And all of a sudden, I feel this burning sensation right in the center of my chest. I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. What is happening right now? You know, but I couldn't come out. I was like, man, I wanted to play, Brother Peter. I didn't want to come out. And so I'm just sitting there. I'm thinking, man. And then it got me thinking, man, those hot Cheeto puffs were a bad idea. They were a bad idea. I should have listened to my mom and gotten a fruit cup. Or, you know, hey, gotten, you know, I don't know, applesauce or something instead of eating these hot Cheeto puffs. And the whole game, I had, hey, man, had that burning sensation right there in my chest. I remember thinking, man, even though they were good, right? They tasted good. I remember thinking, man, as I eat them, I'm going to be able to operate just fine after eating them. But in reality, I saw that, man, hey, it was a bad call. It was a bad idea. Listen, in the same way, we've got a lot of us in here, right, that, man, are feeding on stuff. We think we're going to be able to operate on, you know, in the Spirit. We think that we can continue to live for Jesus while feeding on it. But in reality, man, I mean, we're ended up feeding our flesh. And what's being birthed out is some of the stuff that we see here, what Paul talks about in Galatians 5. Let me put it this way. Some of us in here are trying to live for God, right? And we're trying to please Him by our thought life. But what's happening is, man, we're intaking salacious material and looking at stuff online, man, that we don't need to be looking at. And so what ends up happening is lustful thoughts are birthed. Yeah. Some of us in here, man, we're trying to please God, right, by, you know, our speech and being encouraging to other people. But, man, what we're taking in is a whole bunch of negativity and stuff on social media, stuff on the news. And so what's being birthed is negativity towards our spouse, towards folks at work, towards our kids. Listen, we've got to be careful on what we choose to feed ourselves. Because in reality, what may be happening is, man, you're feeding your flesh. And hey, that's why you're seeing, even though you try and manufacture, that's why you're seeing some of these things, what we talked about here, being birthed out. Dissension. Anger. Bitterness. Envy. Got to be folks that choose, man, to feed our soul, not the flesh. Look what it says. Look at this. We must understand that what we feed is pivotal in how we're able to walk with the Lord. One who walks in the Spirit is one who understands that they must feed their soul and wage war with the flesh. Man, feed our soul and wage war with the flesh. At the end of the day, we cannot live the Spirit-filled life while choosing to indulge in the flesh at the same time. And so listen, we got to choose to feed our soul. Real quick, just some practical points here. Asking the question, how do you feed your soul? Just a couple practical points of information here. Real quick, how do you feed your soul as a child of God? How do you feed your soul? Real quick. Number one, you feed your soul first and foremost with, man, through time with God. Time with God. Walking with Him. Man, a lot of us feel like we could live the Christian life, man, without spending any time with the Creator of the universe. It can't happen. You're not going to be able to, fruit isn't going to be born out of your life if you're not walking with the Lord. Matter of fact, Jesus Himself said that. He said, abide in me and I in you, and you'll bear much fruit. Jesus himself said that. And so we got to spend time with God. What does that look like, man? It looks like worship. Right, man, personal time of worship. Not just here on Sunday morning, but personal time of worship. What does that look like in your life? Hey, you talk about something that's good for your soul, feeding your soul, man, it's choosing, man, whenever it seems like life all around you is falling apart, choosing to proclaim the promises of God through song and worship Him. Man, hey, whenever you're in a funky mood, hey, choosing to worship anyways and declaring the greatness of the God who's in control of your life. Man, hey, that's how you feed your soul, is through worship. What does your time of worship look like? Secondly, man, time with God, it involves you being in the Word, man. You spending time in the Word with the Lord, man, reading. And I'm not talking about just reading every now and then. This is what I get guilty of. Sometimes I wake up a little late, you know, and I think, man, it's all right. I'll kneel by my bed real quick, look real spiritual, Grant, kneel by my bed and get my little phone out. I got Facebook, you know, I got Facebook up. But I get my little phone out, read a little verse or two, something that I've probably read before. And I think, hey, I'm all right. Got that checked off. I'm good to go. Now, I'm not talking about that kind of reading. Hey, I'm talking about, man, spending time, man, carving out time, getting alone with God and reading, and not just reading just for intake, just for knowledge sake, but man, truly intake, truly taking in what you're reading, man, journaling, meditating on the truths of God. And that's how you feed your soul. Talking about being stressed, man, you feed your soul, man, by taking in the truth of God. And then prayer, obviously spending time talking with God. I asked this question last service, hey, when's the last time, right, that your prayer time with God consisted of more than just you bringing a whole bunch of requests to Him, you know, and expecting them to answer. Hey, we're supposed to do that. Matter of fact, I mean, hey, Paul encourages us to do that, man. Bring your requests and supplications to the Lord. We need to do that. But also, man, hey, our time in prayer, man, is for us to be able to get along with the Creator of the universe and just spend time with Him. Remember, He is our Father. He's more than just a genie. He's our Father. And so, man, hey, spend time with God. That's how you feed your soul, number one. Number two, man, spend time reading and listening to godly resources. What does that look like in your life, man? You know, outside of the Word of God, man, what are you reading? What are you listening to? Whether it's worship music, whether it's a godly podcast. I recommend one, you know, my friend sent to me, The Bible Project. It's pretty neat, you know. It's got, background info, like go through a book, got background info on the book and just, you know, some different themes and whatnot and kind of the big so what of the book of the scripture there. But that's just an example. What are you taking in that's encouraging and edifying to you? And then thirdly is this, time investing in godly community. Hey, a great way for you, hey, to feed your soul in these days, man, is to spend time with folks, man, that love Jesus and are looking to grow in Him just like you. Now, we need to spend time, obviously, I mean, there's folks that are lost. We need to surround ourselves around lost folks so we can be a light in the darkness there. But, man, hey, we've got to get ourselves around people, man, that are saved, that know and love Jesus, that can sharpen us, that can encourage us. When it seems, like I said, whenever it seems like life is falling apart and you just need somebody to just get real with you and just say, hey, listen, God is good. He's in control. You'll be all right. Why don't you come and grab coffee and hang out? Let's encourage one another. Hey, that's a great way to feed your soul. What does that look like in your life? Investing in godly community. Practical way we've got for that here at Tylertown is we've got family groups that meet all around the city. We'd love to connect with you on how you can get plugged in and involved with that. But man, you got to feed your soul. Some practical points on how you feed your soul. Then real quick, how do you wage war with the flesh? We've got to feed the soul, but also wage war with the flesh. Real quick, what does that look like for us? Number one is this. Choose to be folks that flee from temptation. Be folks that flee from temptation. Here's the truth of the matter today. A lot of us think, man, because, you know, we're saved, we can just kind of hang out, you know, and flirt with temptation a little bit, man. Hey, just kind of hang out. But here's the reality. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Hey, whenever you choose to dance with the devil, he always takes the lead in the dance. He always does. And so the call for us is to choose to flee from temptation. Man, we're gonna fail every time if we choose to try and flirt with him. Flee from him. Be like old Joseph, right, in Genesis, man, when Potiphar's wife was trying, you know, to lay with him, man. He left, man. He ran. No shame. He didn't hang out there. He left the house. Ran out the house. In the same way, we got to flee from temptation. Secondly is this, we've got to choose to crucify the flesh. How do we wage war with the flesh? You've got to die to it. Here's the truth. A lot of us in here, man, the reason why we're not able to walk in the Spirit is because there's still stuff in our life we've got to die to. We talk about, you know, living crucified. There's still stuff in your life that you got to die to. There's vices in your life, right, that you're hanging on to. There's stuff in your life, man, that is really a hindrance to your growth. And so the call is to die to it. Lay it aside, like the writer in Hebrews says in Hebrews 12:2, hey, laying aside every encumbrance and sin, and man, running forward the race. You've got to crucify the flesh. And then thirdly and lastly is this, hey, we've got to choose to be folks that guard our minds and our hearts. Listen to me close. Be careful what you choose to fill your mind and heart with in these days. Be careful what you choose to feed your mind and heart with. Listen, if all you're doing, hear me, if all you're doing, right, is watching news outlets without spending time, right, all you're doing is watching news without, hey, spending time in the book that has the good news, man, all that's going to come out is negativity, anxiousness, fear. Listen, if all you're doing is man, just scrolling around social media without spending time in the Scripture, all that's going to be birthed out is insecurity, not feeling like you're good enough. Lies from the enemy. That's all that's going to be birthed out. Envy. We see that. Man, guard your mind and your heart. Be careful what you choose to take in. That's such an important part that, matter of fact, King Solomon, wisest man in the universe, he said something about it. Proverbs 4:23. He said that himself. Guard your heart. For what? It's the wellspring of life. And so listen, guard what you bring in. When we choose to feed our soul, we will see this fruit naturally birthed out of our lives as followers of Christ. This fruit that Paul talks about here. Rather, when we choose to feed the flesh, we will see the fruits of the flesh birthed out. Feed your soul, not the flesh. And then secondly and lastly is this. Hey, we've got to, in order to be folks that live the Spirit-filled life, we've got to be folks that choose to yield to the Spirit instead of yielding to ourselves. Yield to the Spirit instead of yielding to ourselves. When he says keep in step with the Spirit there, what he's saying is, man, since the Spirit is the source of life, right? Hey, since, you know, we possess the Spirit, right, and he's brought us life through us surrendering to Jesus, man, let the Spirit then direct our course. Let him be the boss. Let God be the boss. Let God be the Lord of our life. At the end of the day, the call to live the Spirit-filled life is a call to yield one life to the Lord and his Lordship. And choosing to surrender to him. Whenever he says go, man, we go. Whenever he says stay, we stay. Whenever he says, man, to send that encouraging word, we do it. We got to choose to be folks that yield to him. Be willing to submit to him. Real quick, I had to do that myself. Just personal story, man. About, hey, talking about being convicted. I came about it yesterday in my life. I had a little gift card, you know, to a restaurant down on Wilma Rudolph. And so, man, I said, man, let me treat myself tonight. So, end up ordering the, food to go. Get up to the to-go window. You know, I pay the lady, give her the gift card. I think I had to pay like $2 or something. In response, pay it. You know, and obviously I see the receipt there. It says tip. I said, man, she literally reached 6 inches to grab, you know, my food. So I'm not tipping her. So cross that out, paid it, gave it, and then rolled out. And I'm in the car on my way back to the house up Trenton. And the Spirit of God said, hey, Irv, you know, man, the call of the Christian life is a call to generosity. Right? It's what God has been growing in me over the last several years, call to be generous. And I was like, yeah, I know, God, but You saw what was there, man. She literally reached 6 inches to grab the food. I mean, you know what would happen there. And he said, hey, you know the call of the Christian life is a call to be generous. And at this point in time, I'm at the house. I got my feet kicked back, man. Hey, Brad, I was chilling, man. Got my feet kicked back. I'm hanging out at the house. Spirit of God's like, hey, you need to go tip that lady. I'm like, God, that's 12 minutes out the way. I'm sitting here watching football, hanging out. Spirit of God kept prompting. And then finally got to a point where, here it is, it got to a point where if I proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, man, that means he's Lord of everything. And that means the call for me is to yield, man, to the Spirit's direction and go. And so, man, I got up, put my slides on, got back in the car, and rolled down the way and ended up tipping her. Got to give her a little invite card, too. She wasn't there. Gave it to another lady, got to give her the card. Here's the point. I'm not saying that to, boast of myself or anything like that. Man, it was more of a convicting thing than anything. Here's the point, though. Like I said, whenever the Spirit says to go, man, the call for us is to go. Whenever the Spirit, man, says, hey, encourage that friend, man, we respond and encourage that friend. Hey, whenever the Spirit says, man, hey, serve in that way or do this thing, man, we respond in that way because, man, He is Lord. When we yield to the Spirit, man, we're able to bear fruit for Him. Real quick, here's the fruit that's born whenever we yield to the Spirit. And then we'll be done this morning. Yielding to the Spirit, it allows for us, right, we see here in the text, it allows for us, number one, to walk in humility. It allows for us to walk in humility. Man, Paul says, he says this, hey, keep in step with the Spirit. Man, hey, don't become conceited, man. He's talking specifically about what's happening in the church at that time. These Judaizers, these religious, folks that proclaim, man, that, hey, they follow all these rules, man, and they're in closer standing with God, they become a little conceited. What happened was they end up yielding to themselves. Even though they received Christ Jesus as Lord, man, and received the Spirit that way, they resorted back to yielding to themselves, man, by following the flesh, by thinking that, hey, if I follow these set of rules, man, that I'm better than this other person. They ended up boasting on themselves. And that's what happens whenever you yield to yourself, man. You become pretty arrogant. You begin thinking that you're the boss. Hey, you begin end up thinking that you're your own God. And what Paul is saying, hey, whenever we yield to the Spirit, man, we're able to walk in humility. Able to walk in humility. We understand this reality, man, that at the end of the day, the Lord is the one that saved us. We can't save ourselves. The Lord saved us. Right? And here it is. And the Lord's able to sustain us too. Can't sustain ourselves on our own. The Lord's able to sustain us as well. Understand this reality of Galatians 2:20, that we've been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Walk in humility. And then secondly and lastly, whenever we yield to the Spirit instead of ourselves, we see this, that we're able to walk in harmony with others. Able to walk in harmony with others. Man, he says this, hey, let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. Right, whenever we yield ourselves to the Spirit, what happens is, man, things turn from it being all about me to it being about we. And ultimately glorifying the Lord. And so what that means for us is, man, whenever we yield to the Spirit, man, all of a sudden, right, in our life, man, envy, life shifts from envy, right, and being envious of other people because life is focused on you to, man, being an encouragement. And being an encourager, because, man, it's about we. And choosing to encourage your neighbor. Life shifts from berating your neighbor, right? Provoking one another. Berating your neighbor, right? For their struggles and their issues. Pointing the finger. Saying, hey, you're not good enough. Listen, why aren't you like me? Life shifts from berating your neighbor to choosing to bear their burdens and issues because you love them. Ultimately, whenever we submit to Lord, yield ourselves to the Spirit, man. Things move from a life of selfishness to a life of selflessness. And we're able to walk out what Psalm 133:1 says, where it says this, that how blessed it is when brothers and sisters are able to dwell together in unity. We're able to walk in that reality. Able to walk in harmony with other people. And so, friends, like I said, the call for us is to live the Spirit-filled life. So we be folks, be the Christians that God has called for us to be. Real quick, as we close, I stumbled upon this illustration pertaining to Christians. It's kind of humorous, but I think it applies. The person who wrote it, they don't, no one knows who they are, but they said this: some Christians, right, are like wheelbarrows that need to be pushed, right, in order to continue walking in the Lord. Some Christians are like canoes that need paddling in order for them to stay straight on the course. Some Christians are like kites. Man, they're fired up, but man, hey, they got to be kept on a string or else they'll go loose. Some Christians are like footballs. Man, you can't tell where they'll bounce next. Man, they're one place and then the other. Some Christians are like balloons. They're full of wind, but ready to blow up any moment. Some Christians are like trailers. They've got to be pulled in order to journey forward in their walk with God. Some Christians are like lights, man. They're on one day and then off the next. And some Christians are like kittens, man. They're mad all the time until they're petted and then they're content. But then he says one last thing pertaining to what Christians are like. He says this, but some Christians are like the North Star. They're there when you need them. They're dependable. And they're loyal. They're all into this call to make Jesus famous and make much of Him. Listen, for us to be those type of Christians, right, that aren't like a wave tossed to and fro based on what's going on around us in the culture and society, for us to be those type of Christians that, man, are making disciples, that are bearing fruit for His name, in order for us to be those type of Christians, we've got to be folks that choose to live the Spirit-filled life. And listen, we're able to do that, man. In Christ, we possess the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God lives inside of us. We're able to do that. We do that by choosing, man, to feed our soul, not our flesh, and choosing to be folks that yield to His Spirit and not ourselves. May we be those Spirit-filled Christians in these days. With heads bowed and eyes closed, ask for the band to come up this morning. And as they're coming up, for those of you who may be new with us, listen, this is our time of response, right? We believe what the book of James says, right? Whenever the word of God is brought forth, doesn't matter who brings it, right? There's always a call to respond. We're called not to be hearers, just hearers of God's word, but doers of it. And this provides the opportunity to do that. Maybe you're in here this morning and listen, your response, is this, man, is to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. You're not able to live the Spirit-filled life because you don't have the Spirit of God inside of you. Never been a point in time where you've turned from your sins and trusted in Christ. Listen, the good news is today you can do that. The good news is, man, there's no one on this side of eternity that's too far from receiving by Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so you can make that decision today to receive Him as Lord. Maybe you're in here and the truth of the matter is you look at your life and maybe you need to change your diet in terms of your intake, right, and your mind and heart. Maybe you're in here and in reality, by what you're listening to, who you're around, what you're watching, man, you're feeding the flesh and what's being birthed out is some of this stuff that Paul talks about here that isn't pleasing to the Lord. And maybe your response is, man, to go before the Lord and say, you know what, I'm changing my diet, man. Hey, I'm going to add and really center my life around spending time with You, Lord. I'm going to add godly resources and materials, right? A godly intake in that way. I'm going to add, man, godly fellowship with other saints. I'm going to add those things. Wage war with the flesh enlarged. Maybe you're in here and the reason why you haven't been able to walk in the Spirit is because, man, there's still stuff you've got to die to. Like we talked about earlier, man, you're not able to bear fruit because, man, there's still vices in your life that have got to go, that have got to die. We've got our cross here with the piece of paper and pens, right, asking the question, what do you got to die to? Maybe your response is to come down here and write that down and just lay it at the foot of the cross and say, I'm done with it and move forward. Maybe you're in here and your struggle is, man, a lordship issue. You're great with Jesus being Savior, but man, whenever it comes to Him directing your life, that's where the struggle is. Can I encourage you? Hey, following Jesus, man, it's the best way because, man, He's better. He's better.